You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, good morning, one and all.
On this drizzly gray day.
Yeah, it is so. But a little ray of sunshine popped in the studio along with you, Kim Hunter.
Not the ray of sunshine. Clearly not me, ray of sunshine. Our special guest.
You're a little walking around cloud sometimes. But not today.
Thanks
for Kim Hunter is with us. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Now, you can maybe explain why Kim is here.
Well, Kim is one of my students from Durham College.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And Paul Zammit of the Toronto Botanical Garden sponsored four of my students to attend the Ravine Symposium, which was all day yesterday at the TBG.
Ah.
Kim is here to report on that experience.
Oh.
She is actually being evaluated as we speak. She's, there's a mark attached to this.
All right, let's see. Okay, this is going to be tough. We're going to be tough on you.
But we won't force her into doing anything just yet. Instead, yeah. I'll let you do numbers and we'll
we've already got some callers on the line, but we have at least two more calls that we can't accept right now. So give a call if you're in Toronto to 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Our little mantra, call early, call often. One question per call. If you happen to be a first-time caller, by the way, let Sebastian know, because that's when I reach for the little bell that signifies you getting your garden wings.
I know. That's our big welcome.
Yeah, and I have to do one more thing. I promised Mario at coffee time there at the Aurora intersection of Aurora Road and Woodbine. When I order my coffee, I usually on a Saturday morning say, can I have a banana too? Well, he came to the window, handed me my coffee, said, here you go, and two bananas for the price of one. So I said, I'm going to give you a shout out.
I think there's a song that goes like that.
Thank you, Mario.
Ain't got no bananas. What's that song?
Yes, we have no bananas.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, but we do. All righty. So then, that's
two.
My job pretty well complete. We have to leave the rest up to the listeners to get your call in very short order. We have to take a little bit of break momentarily, but you do have some...
I have a few announcements.
Announcements, yeah.
Tomorrow, for those of you that are rhododendron fans, the Rhododendron Society is meeting 1 p.m. Toronto Botanical Gardens in the Garden Hall. The speaker is Wayne Mezet of Weston Nursery in Massachusetts. They're the ones that produced the PJM rhododendron, named after Wayne Mezet's grandfather, P.J. Mezet. So Wayne's going to be presenting all about how that rhododendron came about, and it is an amazing rhodo. If anybody loves rhododendrons, it's the one to get, the PJM. Then there's a hands-on demo of proper planting of azaleas and rhodos, and of course, it's fun, educational, all free of charge. Refreshments are provided. It doesn't get more fun than that on a cold... It's cold Sunday. It's going to be cold tonight.
Yeah.
We're getting a serious frost tonight, I understand. Richmond Hill Garden and Hort Society is meeting on November 6th, 7:30 p.m. in the McConaughey Senior Center, 10100, so 10100 Young Street in Richmond Hill. The guest speaker is Vicky Simkovic. Her topic is invasive plants. So she's going to introduce the native plant alternatives, plus how to remove invasive plants like dog strangling vine, garlic mustard, Phragmites, etc. So again,
Creeping Charlie.
Thank you, Frank.
Just thought I'd throw
that in. Yeah, everybody loves that. I have a problem. I have Creeping Charlie. Frank gets a kick out of it every time.
I always envisage Charlie with her wine bag doing some weeding at that particular point.
My students don't know that part.
Oh, really?
Charlie, don't worry about
it. Okay, all right.
That's just between
enough
us,
said.
Okay?
Yeah, that's enough said.
We're
okay.
All like that.
The Riverdale Hort Society is meeting November 14th in the Frankland Community Center, 816 Logan Avenue, just south of the Danforth. Speaker that evening is Kevin Cavanaugh, owner of South Coast Garden. He's sharing what he has learned about zone pushing in their trial garden. 7 o'clock, everyone, of course, is welcome. And we had a great surprise when Kim and I stepped into the building. Our buddy Stanley was there with some pots of mums. Check this out.
Wow.
I'm just going to put this so that you can see it.
Look at,
if
oh
anybody's watching
they
on camera.
Beautiful.
So there's a couple of pots and mums for each of us, and even Kim, as if Stanley didn't even know she was going to
well,
be here. But he
Stanley?
Brought. So he's a sweetheart. And of course, he was here to remind us that the Chrysanthemum Show is on at Centennial Park Conservatory. That is started yesterday.
26th, I think, isn't it?
Exactly. 3rd to the 26th. Open daily, 10 to 5, free admission, amazingly beautiful. If you want a blast of flower power, take a swing by Centennial Conservatory, which is at 151 Elmcrest Road, which is Rathburn and Renforth area.
All right.
Okay.
Good. All righty, you location manager, you. We're off and running in just a moment here. I have to have a few words from our sponsors and then be back to say hi to Helen just around the corner here in Toronto.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Beep, beep, beep. Correction, correction, correction. First time this year I made a mistake.
First time this year, yeah. That's probably that's not true.
I'd incorrectly given a name to Kim. Her last name is Baker.
Yes.
Kim Baker. Sorry about that, Kim.
Oh, that's okay. Fine. Thank
all righty.
You.
And we are off and running to go to the calls on air. So let's say hi to Helen in Toronto. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
Morning. What's going on at your place?
I have a cyclamen. Can you tell me how to care for it?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Best thing it needs is a cool room. What kind of temperature do you keep your thermostat at?
Oh, about 74.
Okay. Is there any place, any window ledge that might be a little cooler than right in the middle of a 74-degree room?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Because that will prolong the flowering. The main thing with cyclamen is you want to keep them as cool as you can to prolong the flowering. They'll flower for months and months. Mm-hmm. If you can keep them a little cooler than 74, be careful to not overwater. Only water from the bottom into the saucer in the bottom
right.
When the soil feels dry on the top. So feel the soil. Starts to feel dry. Water in the bottom. And bright. Give it a bright spot. Right on a window ledge is probably one of the coolest spots in your place. So that's where I'd try and keep it. Turn it every couple of days, 180 degrees, so it won't all lean into the light.
Oh, I see, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And welcome to Kim on your show.
Well,
well, thank you very much, Helen.
And keep great. Listening, Helen, because Kim's going to share with us some great experiences she had yesterday at the Ravine Symposium.
Yeah. Matter of fact, just before we go to our... Thank you very much for the call, Helen. Before we go to our next caller, just prior to going on air, I said, how did you become interested in gardening? Has it been a long time thing with you? So how did it all happen for you?
Well, for me, it happened. It's actually a second career. I was a stay-at-home mom, and both my children were in full-time school, and you get to that point, you're like, okay, what am I going to do now? So there was another mother at the school. They owned a gardening maintenance company, and we went for lunch, and we started talking, and I said, you know what, I'll give it a shot. I'll come out with you. And I was telling you that my first 3 days were in spring, in April, pouring rain, freezing, and we were cutting dogwoods.
Oh, man.
Hour after hour.
Days of dogwoods. No. And that's what they said. They said, you know what? If she comes back and she can survive this, then she's a lifer and I am a lifer.
That's great.
And you still work with the same company, don't you?
No, I don't. I do work with another company.
Well, give them a right plug. Now. Give them a plug, can you?
Oh,
yeah, we can do that.
Oh, Missa Landscaping. Yes, they take very good care of me. So
that's
thank
nice.
You for that.
Yeah, that's great.
And
yeah.
You're Port Perry based, and is the yes. maintenance company also Port
yes,
Perry?
Yes, it is in okay. Nestleton.
Ah,
yes.
Nice.
But we service all of Durham. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a great experience. I ran the gardening side of it. So
good for you.
Yes, it was fantastic. It was a lot more responsibility.
The old line, it's never too late.
Absolutely.
You know?
Never. And Kim is a good example of, mm-hmm. of students, many of the students who are second career or pursuing their love, their hobby, and want to learn more. So, you know, Kim's in second year at Durham College. By the end of the winter semester, you'll have a diploma as a horticultural technician, right?
That's right. Yes, yes.
So that's quite a little feather in the cap. There's lots of opportunities for jobs. And you were asking Kim, like, what do you think you want to do? And what was your answer?
Oh, it's just there's such a wide variety in this business. And, you know, you just one door opens, you walk through it, and then another one opens. So it's continuing
well, as
education.
I commented before we went on air, you're smart because you know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And that's most important.
I just want to keep learning. There's just so much to it. You just want to keep going.
Yeah. Good for you, Kim.
Thank you.
Okay, we better get to our next caller here. Sharon on the line from West Lorne. Hey, good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. I got to turn my radio down.
Oh, good. Yep. A reminder then.
Sharon,
okay.
With
good morning,
that,
Frank. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
And good morning, Kim. And good luck in your future career.
Thank you so much. That's wonderful.
What I'm calling for is about my Christmas cactus. Mm. 2 weeks ago, we had a light frost before that, but it was okay. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, we had a real good frost, and I missed getting on right at the last week for you. And I brought it in. I went out to bring it in, or to bring it into the garage. And I usually leave it out till about the end of September, but I didn't get around to it this year. Mm-hmm. And when I went out, it was just foom, you know, just the leaves were just, they had got it, we had got a good frost that night, but it was under a tree, and I didn't think too much of it, because you had said, I remember you saying about
it can handle,
the frost, you know, that it would stand up and whatever and that too, but it was a good frost, so I don't know what happened. But anyway, I brought it in, put it in the garage, and as I say, I missed getting on to you, or on with you last week and that too, so what should I do?
I've
had it for quite some time. If I cut it back and take a slip off it or something, or...
Okay, so hold on. Tell me what it looks like now. Is it standing up or is it mush?
No, it's just kind of droopy, like mush.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's in the garage, so it's dark in the garage, obviously. What's the soil like? Is it wet or dry?
It's dry now. I haven't watered it. It was wet and that, too, when I brought it in, or damp, damp.
Oh, okay. So when you put it in the garage about a week ago, it still had moisture in the soil.
Yes.
And now a week later, the soil seems quite dry, but the plant is standing up, or it's really flopped?
It's just kind of drooping. It's just kind of limp.
You know what I would do? It could be that it's actually fine. Your intention is to bring it in the house, right?
Eventually, yes.
See what
I usually bring it in, as I say, around the end of September, first part of October, and put it in a plastic bag and spray it with Raid and that too to get all the bugs and whatever off. And then I take it out, leave it in that for a couple of days, and then I take it out and do the same thing again and whatever, and then bring it in so it doesn't. But it had buds on it, but the buds are.
Yeah. Okay, so the only thing is, it would be happier in your house right now than in your garage, just because it would like the light that it would receive through the window.
Oh.
So there is a certain amount of stressful aspect to sitting in a cold, dark garage right now that would be alleviated if it was inside your house.
Uh-huh.
The other thing is, really feel that soil. If it's truly dry, like, desert dry.
It's hard. It's hard on the top.
Then I would give it some water. You want to do a little insecticide, a little soap and water on the plant before you bring it in. I get it. I would not bag it up for a couple of days because, again, that's highly stressful. Even that Raid is highly stressful. Soap and water is all you need on the plant. Any bugs that were in that soil have long abandoned because they're just sitting in your garage. Those bugs really don't want to be there.
No.
So it's really just a wash with soap and water, drain, water thoroughly, get it in your house, get it in the sunshine, and see what happens. It should perk up. If it doesn't, call us next week, or you can email me if you want. And yes, ultimately, you may want to propagate it if it looks like the plant isn't going to make it. It's very likely some part of it can make it.
Well, it doesn't look like it will make it.
Okay.
Not right now.
Well, give us a call back when you've done a little of
limp
the...
Yeah. But the limpness could be connected to the dryness or the stress it's under in the dark. So for now, just do what I suggest. Give me a call next week if you need more advice. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Sharon. And meanwhile, Frank will give you my email address in case
you want that. Yes, absolutely. You can reach Charlie by this. Here it is. C.Dobbin. That is D-O-B-B-I-N at mzmedia.com.
That's okay. Great. I'm so glad you do that because I never remember my email address.
Plus, like your own phone number.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I never call myself. Yeah, I never email myself either.
You know, we have a lot of open lines right now. So I would really urge anybody who wants to ask a question, or in past weeks you think, I always get a busy signal. Well, no. Right now you won't. So in Toronto, call 416-360-0740. Anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. And when we come back, Charlie, why don't you say we have Kim Baker tell us a bit of her knowledge that she has gained of recent days.
Exactly. I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
All right. Coming back.
Back in a moment.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, okay, Charlie, you brought Kim Baker in here. Let's put her to work.
Well, exactly. You were just saying in the break there. Let's hear a bit about what you learned yesterday.
So yesterday four of us went to the Ravine Symposium at Toronto Botanical Gardens, and it was amazing. It was phenomenal. And I would like to thank Paul Zammit. He sponsored us to go to the summit, and it was such an amazing experience, and I really wanted to thank him. So thank you.
And you said you've never been to the TBG.
No, I had not. It was my first time, so it was really nice. So we had some lectures, and then they took us on a brief tour, which was wonderful. So at least we got to see a little bit about what they were speaking about. Mm. It was so informative. I live in Port Perry, so, I mean, there's, you know, things around us, but like how they explained it basically is Toronto, the city, it is surrounded by parks, and basically the symposium was to explore, restore, and celebrate. So it was explaining to us all about the invasive plants that are taking over and how we can restore it, and all these wonderful speakers who came to talk about what you can do, what they're doing, policies to help us restore these wonderful areas for us to go in, and habitats for animals as well. So it was amazing.
Well, and there are a lot of ravines in Toronto because it's all got to do with the rivers, right?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Like where you can almost never be out of sight of the Dawn River. I find there's so many tributaries of the Dawn.
Yeah.
So whenever and wherever that river runs, there's a ravine attached to it.
Right.
So and I know Paul alluded to it because he actually spoke to my first year students this past week at the college, and he talked a little bit about the invasive species that have they've slowly but moved in, and these are exotics. These are non-native plants that are just taking advantage
and they're tough to get rid of.
And thriving, and they have no natural predators, no natural enemies, and they tend to wipe out and fill the space where the natives might move in, the exotics take over.
Okay.
So that's right.
We're going to hold more information for just a smidge later because there are folks waiting on the line right now, and there's Barbara in Mississauga. Hey, Barbara, good morning.
Oh, hi. Nice to get to talk to you on the show. I love the show.
Thank you.
I have a calanchoa, and it has powdery mildew. I got it from a neighbor. They had it outside for the summer. They go away to Florida in the winter, so he gave me the plant. And it was fine till now, so 5 or 6 weeks it's been fine. Mm-hmm. And now it's got powdery mildew, and I don't know what to do. And it's a beautiful plant, so...
Okay, and you're sure it's, I call it calancho. Are you sure that that's the plant you've got?
That's what I was told it was.
Okay. The reason I ask is just because it is not typically susceptible to powdery mildew. Where have you got it located in your house?
I had it in a sunny window.
Oh.
Because I think they like the light, eh?
Absolutely. Yeah, they are. Calancho are considered a succulent. They have a thick, spongy kind of a leaf. They have beautiful flowers, come in orange and red or pink.
Yellow. Mm-hmm.
Some whites, yellow. Bright, bright light is what they want. Dry down between waterings. Unusual to have powdery mildew. Check the surface of the soil. Make sure there's no debris, like old leaves that have fallen down in there. So make sure that's nice, clean, and clear. Obviously, only water when bone dry, so really let it dry out between waterings.
Would overwatering it cause it to get the powdery mildew?
Perhaps, yeah. And and it, just avoid water on the plant at all. So another good example, maybe just like the cyclamen.
Don't spray it at all. Mm-hmm.
Don't spray it, and water from below. Water from the saucer below, just like we mentioned to Helen with her cyclamen. Don't get the plant wet. Water from below. Keep it in that bright sun. And wipe off the mildew. Get yourself... best thing to do actually would be a Kleenex with a dipped in a mixture of half rubbing alcohol and half water. So, and use that just to wipe off the mildew and hope that you can annihilate those spores.
Ah. Okay, super. Okay. Now, should it be separated from my other plants? Like, if I've got a Hoya Mauna Loa, is it likely that it would transfer to that or other plants at all?
Potentially, if you have a tendency to overwater or humidity is super high, potentially. So always a good idea to isolate when a plant doesn't look great.
Okay, super.
But again, Hoya is not susceptible to powdery mildew, but on principle, do isolate for sure.
Okay, super. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Barbara.
And was that, Barbara, you're a first-time caller by any chance?
No, I'm not.
You're not. Okay. I was just reaching for the bell, just in case.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Frank likes to get his exercise.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He loves that bell.
Now, here's a name that pops up fairly regularly
now
on the call-in show.
No, she's not a first-time
caller. That would be Siva, located right here in Toronto. Hi, Siva.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I took up my dahlia bulbs. I put them in a bag with fleas. Do I have to keep them damp? Or leave them as is.
You put them in a bag with what?
Leaves.
Oh, leaves. Leaves. Okay, leaves is a bit unusual. I would not put it in a bag of leaves.
Okay. Well,
because the leaves could have life attached to the leaves, and that life could then annihilate your dahlias.
Okay.
Okay, so best thing is get yourself a brand new bag of potting soil that's never been used before.
Okay.
Or peat moss, something simple, even core, you know, the coconut fiber stuff, C-O-I-R.
Okay.
Something that's clean, clear, sterile is what you want. Moisten for sure. Tuck your dahlia bulbs into that nice, moist, sterile medium. Not the leaves.
And do I keep them moist throughout the year? Or?
You do, and you want to keep them cool, too.
Okay, so, yeah, I have them in a cellar.
Okay, and your cellar's cool, like a root cellar?
Yes.
Perfect, yep, yeah. Oh, so you want the moisture, but you want a sterile environment.
Okay, thank you very much. I didn't see Frank at the Zuma show on Saturday.
Oh, gee, I was there on Sunday.
Okay, missed you. Thank you.
Next time. Okay.
Yeah, bye-bye.
How was the Zoomer show? Was it fun?
It was great, yeah. Mm-hmm. Shirley and I went early, as a matter of fact.
So you could cruise the show?
Yeah. And there was a group there. I want to give them a plug because they're from Toronto. They call the Beach Party Boys, and they are a tribute band for the Beach Boys music, obviously.
Oh.
They were terrific. So if you ever see that
dancing and twirling. And
well, there's about 200-300 seat little auditorium there. And I look across the island. The gentleman that I was watching, he knew all. He had to be in his mid-70s.
Oh, he knew all the words.
He knew all the words. And he was singing right along. It was just great. No, we had a marvelous time meeting a lot of our listeners too.
Yeah.
Just before we go to our next call, I felt myself being transported to my teens when I was going to high school, and I'm in the middle of a test, and I'm stumped in a question, and I glance over to the guy sitting next to me, and he's writing the same. Okay, I get it now. And I just did that, some notes that Kim Baker has made here from her visit, and I noticed one little line.
Sneaking.
What will help? It will take 20 years.
To see results.
To see results. Yep. This is from Paul Zammit in the talk
All
that you
of the speakers, to. Yes. Basically, they're saying ravines are at the tipping point. Our natural heritage will become a green desert if we don't take immediate action.
Mm.
And it will take decades to restore the integrity.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to make people aware of, what we can do to help this. Mm-hmm. And that was the whole point of the symposium. It was just phenomenal.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well.
Really.
Yeah.
So it was a call to action to get out and actually remove and not like get rid of some of these invasive species, I imagine.
Well, that's right. Yes, exactly. But the hard thing is they're still researching how to do that. Like the strangling dog vine. I mean,
I know.
That there was a gentleman who spoke, he did his thesis on it, and he spoke of, like, he did so many tests on in the soils to find out what is making this grow so quickly, and all these factors. It was amazing. Wow. It was amazing. I mean, there's so much of a science to it, right?
Yeah, I know.
And there was a gentleman who spoke about worms as well, about exotic earthworms, and how they're not always helpful,
right?
Which is interesting. So, yeah. Yes, very interesting.
Yeah, I know. It's true. We tend to think, you know, worms are good, but they are not native. And there are lots of worms here that are not native. And they
That's right. That's what he said. Yeah.
You were really paying attention. Good for
I
you.
Was.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it was a good day.
It was a lot
I'm
of information.
I'm glad you guys were able
wonderful.
To go.
Just glanced at our monitor here as we're chatting, and there are a couple of lines open right now, so give a call to InToronto, 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, it is toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. Let's say hi to Diane, who's calling in from Hamilton. Hey, good morning, Diane. Diana.
Good morning. I have a plant that was given to me. I live in an apartment building facing the lake,
okay.
Ontario.
Yes.
And the spelling is BROMELIADS. Is that a tropical plant?
Yes, it is. It's called a bromeliad.
Oh, because I've never seen this kind of plant before. And right now it's sitting on my balcony. And
better get that in before tonight.
Well, the flowers gone brown. It was given to me brown from my neighbor in this apartment building. And,
that's nice. Did it have was the flower flowering when you were given the plant?
No, the flower was brown.
Brown. Okay, so
will it still be good if I bring it in and put it somewhere?
Okay, so let me explain what you should do if you want to keep it alive. Yes, indeed, you must bring it in today. Couple of things. Since the plant has already flowered, and you can tell because in the middle of the plant there is a central stem, which was the flower stem.
Yeah.
They're very showy plants. They can have pink flowers or red flowers. The flowers last for months and months and months. Eventually, though, the flowers turn brown.
Uh-huh.
When that happens, the whole plant will die because this is a plant that once it flowers, it's ended its life. Its life is over. The plant dies.
Right.
But in that process of dying and that browning and that becoming all crispy, from the bottom of the plant, new green shoots will start to grow. And we call those the daughter plants. There can be more than one. There can be two or three. Little green shoots will start to shoot off from the at the base of the dying mother plant. So to keep this plant alive, you let that happen. Get it in the house, or into your apartment, get it on a sunny window ledge. Always, always water into the center of the plant. It's like a rosette. We don't water the soil, we water into the center. Bromeliads are same family as pineapples. So think of a pineapple and how, if you just buy a pineapple at the store, you know how it's got that edible part, which is actually what was the flower. And then at the bottom, it's got all those leaves. That's what bromeliads, they grow just like that. And so the idea is always water into that central rosette. Watch for those green shoots coming from the bottom. If they're not showing yet, they will, assuming this plant is alive. And water once a week with a quarter of a cup, sort of a warm, lukewarm, room temperature water, and then eventually get out your little knife and you're going to slice off those daughters and repot them and toss out mother, and you're back in business. And again, it will flower. Those little babies will flower eventually. It takes a few years.
Should I cut off the green leaves of the plant?
The green little babies that are going to shoot from the bottom, yes, you will eventually cut those off, but wait until they're at least a couple inches tall before you even attempt to separate them from the mother. Okay.
The leaves that are already growing on it.
No, let it be. Whatever green leaves are there, let them the green leaves be. Remove brown only if you're going to cut something off, okay? Yes, bromeliads can be a little bit of a challenge, but they're really so heartwarming. I mean, and they're easy, as long as you got a bright spot.
Okay. Thank you, Diane, and thanks for joining us on this rather cloudy and wet November morning.
I know, but guess what?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, we gain an hour.
That's right.
It's my favorite day of the year. I love a 25-hour day. Think of the things I can get done tomorrow.
I noticed from our monitor, our next caller we'll get to in just a moment is from Normandale. And I'm trying to search in my noggin. Have I ever driven through Normandale?
I don't recognize the name.
So we're going to ask Marjorie to tell us where Normandale is, and then we'll get to her question right after these words here on Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Charlie Dobbin and our special guest, Kim Baker.
And our other special guest, who's always here with me, Franklin Brockner.
Yes, indeed. Now, Marjorie, where the heck is Normandale? Hi, Marjorie.
Good morning.
Well, Normandale is a beautiful, beautiful little village between Port Dover and Turkey Point along Lake Erie.
Oh yeah, sure.
Wow.
Highway 3 area.
Gorgeous.
Right?
Lucky you.
And I'm very close to, I heard you mention the South Garden, South Coast Gardens.
Right.
That is operated by Kevin Cavanaugh.
Right, and okay. He is the speaker at the upcoming Richmond Hill Garden and Horticultural Society. Nope, he's at the Riverdale Horticultural Society, November 14th.
Well, he's a great guy, and I know him, and I'm very close to him, so.
There you go. And what zone do you garden in there? Do you know?
I don't know what zone I'm in. I just like to garden.
Okay. Well, it's just you're that much warmer, right? Mm-hmm. And so his subject matter that he's going to be speaking on is zone pushing. And I guess they have a trial garden there at South Coast Garden. So zone pushing is where, like I sometimes joke, I could keep a jade plant alive at the front of my southern wall, the front of my house, because it is so warm. In the middle of winter, the snow is melting. You know what I mean? It's always just absorbing so much heat from that even a winter sun makes a difference there. So you can push zones in certain parts of your garden more than others.
What's your question this morning?
Well, it's about a hydrangea that I was given several years ago. It was from a greenhouse that was given to me on Mother's Day. Mm. And then I put it outside. Mm. And it was the mauve color originally, but later years it has been pink. But last year, I had one huge bloom on it and one smaller one. Years before, it had more blooms. And it's on the north side of my house, and it's under a bit of a soffit. It doesn't get any sun because it's at the north side. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it has done very well. But now, this fall time, the leaves and the branches have got so long. I was wondering, can I cut them off in the fall time?
If you're worried that it's going to break or it's interfering with a walkway or something like that, you can. Generally, I leave the hydrangeas for the winter. Because if there are flowers, they're quite ornamental even in the winter, right? They get that bronzy, crispy look to them. Hydrangeas are pretty amenable. Spring or fall pruning, no big deal to them.
So how far could I cut it back, more or less, from the bottom?
Well, ultimately, you are going to bring it right down to, 4 to 6 inches tall in the spring. So you could do that in the fall.
Okay.
But what I would recommend is next spring, feed that plant. Get some fertilizer, and best case scenario, get fertilizer that will be for acid-loving plants. That way, there'll be sulfur in the fertilizer, and you will get back to mauve flowers as opposed to pink.
Well, I love the pink ones,
So any flowering plant fertilizer would work.
So could I put manure, like the bags of manure that you buy?
Yep, absolutely. That's a completely organic way of feeding your plants, and that will certainly, always amending the soil with organic matter is great, and that will feed as well. Challenge is you don't know exactly what you're feeding when it comes to manure, but nevertheless, you are giving good organic material, you are giving life to the soil, and you are providing nutrient through that process. So for sure, definitely.
Yes.
Fall or spring or both when it comes to adding manure.
Fall or spring, is that what you said?
Yep, fall. And you can do spring or fall, but always feed your plants in the spring. But you can amend your soil anytime.
Sure.
Oh. Okay.
All right. Thank you very, very much. I really enjoy your program.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marjorie. Alrighty.
Kim, at any point, you feel free to jump right in here.
Okay, I just was having a flashback from Soyuz class from Charlie. That conversation.
No, but I mean, if you have any, if I've forgotten something in these, because I know I keep sort of talking, but you know, Kim knows a lot. She's been in this business for a while, and she is a second-year student, so she certainly has learned some stuff along the way.
Yes. Well, I'm looking at the monitor and going, hey, here's a second call from Hamilton this morning. There's Donna on the line. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning.
Yeah.
I received a memory box in July, and I repotted all the plants. And now I'm finding that the Dracaena has these little white marks on it. Mm. And I was wondering how to get rid of these little critters.
Okay, do they look like little balls of cotton bat, or, you know, cotton balls?
No, they're little long.
Mm. And they're white. Do you see?
They're like a creamy color, yeah.
And they're on the green leaves or in the soil?
They're on the leaves.
Do you see legs on these little white things?
No, but they do move. But I went up to the florist. Mm-hmm. She said that that's white fly, but they're not flying around.
Yeah, no. White fly definitely flies. It's very white.
You'd see them, yeah.
And you're right, they're kind of elongated, but as soon as you sort of bang the bottom of the pot, they'll take off and fly, and they're pure white. I'm thinking you probably have mealybug, but the fact that they don't look like cotton batting is fine. The young nymphs, when they're first born, do not have the white fuzziness. They're just little white insects that move very slowly, but they do move.
Okay.
And the drag, pretty well any insect on a Dracaena is very difficult to annihilate because there's so many good hiding spots.
Well, right? I found them in the center. Stem.
Yeah, well, that's it. Because of the way a Dracaena grows, with that rosette of leaves in the center, and the growing tip is way down in that center where you can't actually see or put in it. You know, you can spray with your insecticide, but insecticides must contact the insect, which is fine. If you can see the insect, you can spray it, contact it, kill it. But down deep inside that little rosette, you can't contact the insect very well. It's worth a try, though. Do quarantine that plant from your other plants, though. Do not let that insect spread.
You're seeing a rosette. These leaves are just green and purple and white. They're long and almost looks like a little miniature palm tree.
Right. That's true. No, I'm saying rosette only in the sense of if you look down on the plant, where the growing tip is in the center there, and if you look there closely, that is technically a rosette, the way it grows from the center point.
Okay.
But you're absolutely right. It does look like a palm. They're long, narrow leaves. And those are easy to spray. It's just getting into that growing point that's hard.
Yeah.
But
so it might be better just to get rid of it.
Might. I mean, it's worth a try, but, do quarantine it, like I said.
Yeah, don't let it spread, for heaven's sake.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Donna.
Thanks for
calling.
Thank you
very much, and I enjoy the show very much.
Thank you.
Take care of Hamilton for us, will you? All right. We'll be back to say hi to Barbara in Mississauga and Joe in London, both of those callers waiting online, and we'll be back to them very shortly here on Charlie Dobbin's Garden Show.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Okay, it's experiment time. All righty. Well, we've nice. Got our special guest, Kim Baker, in, who's a student of Charlie's. And we're going to, this is how to become a Garden Show host.
Right.
So, Barbara, I hope you'll comply here from Mississauga. Ask your question of Kim, okay? And we'll see what she says. All righty? Go ahead there, Barbara.
Good luck with your studies.
Thank you.
Basically, I've got a mandevilla, and I want to put the angel trumpet in the house. And I was wondering, would they bloom in the winter?
Mm.
Would they bloom in the winter? I guess with the right amount of light, you definitely want some warmth there. Water it regularly, and I think it should be fine. It might not bloom as much just because of the winter weather, but I think it might, actually. Just make sure you keep it in a nice, warm spot, and I think you should be fine.
Yeah, if you've got that southern window is the best, right? That brightest
right,
window.
Right, yes.
The mandevilla, it has all these sort of stringers.
Mm-hmm. That right.
Would, you know, I guess it would vine on something if it could. And I tried to cut them off, but it causes it to bleed, this white liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
So I'm thinking it's probably not a good idea. That probably hurts it, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, the mandevilla, I assume, is in a pot right now.
Yes,
just grab, make sure you got a couple of stakes or a little mini trellis or something in there.
Oh, so it can climb it.
Yeah, exactly, because it is a vining plant. It needs to climb onto something. Otherwise, it's going to be, you know, climbing up your walls and into your light fixtures and looking for a spot to go.
Okay, super.
Go ahead. What was that?
Right. Fertilize as well. Give it a little fertilizer.
I wouldn't fertilize now. Light levels are too low, but certainly starting in February, definitely start regular fertilizing.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Kim.
And
thank
you. All right. Way to go. New talk show host in the making right here.
I need some time.
Radio. Okay. We're going to London, Ontario. Uh-huh. There's Joe on the line. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, your old hometown.
No, that's right. London.
Yeah. Got a quick question. I know time's getting on. Apple trees, when is the best time to trim them back and how much?
Okay, so this is actually a very good question. Did you want to jump in on this, Kim?
You can go ahead, but yes, I will.
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay, the absolute best time to trim apple trees is late winter.
Late winter.
So we're talking February, we're talking March, we're talking a dry, sunny day.
Okay.
You never do any kind of major pruning or any pruning at all on a wet day.
Very sharp implements.
Very sharp implements.
Yes.
Now, how hard do you trim? Now, that is a great question because apple pruning is unlike any other pruning.
Uh-huh.
Apple trees need to be trained to maximize the yield of the fruit, right? I mean, we want a healthy, good-looking tree, but we're really growing it for the edible fruit.
Yeah,
so,
it seems like I'm growing them for the squirrels.
And then there's the squirrels.
Yeah.
And they take one bite, and then they toss the apple, and then they grab another apple and take one bite. I know, they drive me nuts. My suggestion, it's very hard to describe apple tree pruning other than to say it's for a wide open, outward facing growth, typically, and you avoid, you want to. But there's some great videos on YouTube. There's great books written on the subject as well.
Okay.
So local library pruning fruit trees, or Google pruning fruit trees.
Mm-hmm.
Try and follow advice that is from a Canadian website or a Canadian book or at least a northern North America.
Uh-huh.
Avoid, you know, a California, Florida perspective where they don't have apples anyway. So just make sure that you're concentrating on working with the information that's relevant to where we live.
What's our zone would I be in?
In London, you might be zone 5, you might be zone 6, depending on where you're located in London.
Uh-huh.
Fair, you're
Frank will tell you.
Yeah. That's true, except Frank, you know, he can kill fake plants, so.
That's right. Plastic plants, they're afraid of me too.
So he doesn't know much about zones.
Okay. Well, that's... I'll look at the library and see what I can get.
Education's great.
I appreciate your call. I listen to your show every weekend.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
That's
so
super. Thank you so much, Joe. Yeah. I have fond memories, of course, my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
Worked at a couple of radio stations there, CKSL and then CFPL television and radio.
Do they still exist,
those
ones?
Yeah. They do.
You didn't destroy
I didn't destroy
some,
them. No.
Some of the stories from your youth are actually quite,
mm-hmm.
fall off your chair laughing kind of stuff. Hey, so next week, where are you going to be, Frank, my friend?
I'll be down in the Florida area around Fort, well, it's about half an hour north of Fort Lauderdale. Deerfield Beach, for anybody sort of
who's in
Boca
the area.
Raton area. Yeah.
Wants to join you for a martini or something.
Meet you by the pool. Something cool to drink, okay?
I hate you. Actually, I like you a lot, but I sometimes really hate you. You have a really good time on your holiday.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
I will not be here all by myself next week because it's always more fun to be here with somebody. So I've invited Lindsay Nightingale to join. She is, speaking of maintenance, she runs a company called Yorkshire Garden Services, which is based in Newmarket. And she will be here. Her thing, her tagline is she'll do anything in the garden except she does not do lawns. She's a pruner, a planter, a creator of beautiful containers, borders. flowers, etc. But lawns are not her bailiwick whatsoever.
Hey, Kim Baker, thank you for guesting with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, great. I'm so happy you came in and so happy you learned and had a great time at the Ravine Symposium.
Oh, I did. And, you know, there's so much information out there for people to look it up. So please look. Plant your pollinating gardens and just do what you can to help.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
See you all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.